As I stood on the bank of the Wolf Creek Bridge that July afternoon, the clouds that had hung behind the rocky sagebrush hills all day blew into the valley. Within minutes, cold wind whipped the river into an angry, foamy field of white and dark green. Stinging, nickel-sized raindrops splashed my fire into a smolder, the steam and smoke hugging the ground and spinning away. When the rain and cold so fogged my glasses that I couldn't see, I climbed into my tent and lay wet on my sleeping bag. I could feel the river waiting behind the wind and the rain. Sometime later, the wind died and heavy rain turned into a steady drizzle. I piled the steaming remains of my fire with wet sticks, crossed the bridge, and walked along a river road. At some distance, I looked back at my campsite. The smoke from the fire rose in a wispy column. For the next 2+ months, I would live in that canoe and with those few pieces of gear. They seemed too small for such a hefty task. I was tempted to scuttle up the side of a brushy hill and get a better look downstream. But I didn't want to see or know the future. Would I have the courage to go all the way? What would the river reveal of itself, of me? On returning to my camp, I stoked the fire and watched the river from my picnic table. A truck that pulled a trailer of drift boats bounced down off the road and into the grassy field at the river access. After backing the trailer to the gravel boat ramp, a gray-haired woman stepped out of the truck and stood to the side. She wore a down vest and was sturdy as a stump. She barked orders at 3 men who loaded the boats with coolers, fly rods, and tackle boxes. A group of men in high-fashion fly-fishing outfits milled about, looking anxious and out of place. They talked and laughed loudly, like kids walking through a graveyard at night. Their voices echoed over the river. Once the men climbed into boats and set off on the river, the woman walked over and sat down at the picnic table. "What you doing here?" she asked in a low, gravelly voice. "I'd backpacked from Kansas City," I said. "The river was my way home." She peered at me with a wrinkled squint. Her lip curled and exposed small, stained teeth. "You're doomed," she growled. My heart raced, and my thoughts whirred in tiny circles. My hand shook. The "I'll show them" chip on my shoulder grew a few sizes. That defiance motivated nearly everything I'd ever done or tried. It still crops up whenever I'm intimidated and feel inept or resentful. "That woman may be right," I thought to myself, "but I'd prove her wrong." Regardless of the difficulties I faced, I'd pull my boat up on the bank at Kansas City and scream, "I showed you."